Morning Living Church. How's everybody doing so far? Good morning. Thank you for being here. I know it's a holiday weekend, so I know that a lot of people are out of town, but we've still got a full house, 915. Good job. Way to show up. And man, God has been doing some great things. Today is the eighth and final week of our series, Suit Up. I don't know about you, but God has been teaching me some great things in this series as we've been looking at the idea that we are living and existing in a spiritual battle, that everything that is visible and physical is preceded by something invisible and spiritual. It's been a great thing for me as we've been walking through this. But like Pastor Whitney said, next week we're starting a brand new worship series, and so we want to encourage you to be here for that. We're flipping the service upside down. So what's going to happen next week, just so you know, is we're going to start preaching at the beginning of the message, and we're going to end the service with worship. So if you happen to like swing into Starbucks on Sunday and you find yourself running a few minutes behind, that's okay. Just pick up the pace a little bit next couple weeks and be here for the worship series so we can all be growing together and then we can worship together as a family at the end. But super excited about this Sunday as we land the plane in our series, Suit Up. Everybody say Suit Up.
Suit Up.
So every week we've been reading Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks to us about how we need to put on the full armor of God. So let me read it for us one last time. It says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Because remember, the devil is out. He's trying to get you. He's planning, right? Queen was right. You know, Queen, he said, Beelzebub, put a devil set aside for you, right? He was right that there's a scheme out there for you. And it says this, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of all that, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, your portable protection, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation." Remember, the helmet protects your head, which holds your brain, which contains your mind, and your mind is where the battle begins. So you put on the helmet of salvation to help protect your thoughts, and it says, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests." Now, most times when people preach this, they stop at the end of verse 17, where it says, "which is the word of God." But then verse 18 starts with the word "and." And the word "and" lets you know that that thought is connected to the thought that was previous. I'm not an English teacher, but you could probably give me the real words of what all that means, right? And so that these two thoughts are connected to each other. So it's not enough just to suit up and put on the physical pieces of armor, but it says, "and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests." Now for a soldier, their voice is very important. So what we have to do is empower our voice. We want our voice to be strong. We want our voice to be amplified so that people can hear what we're saying. When a soldier speaks, they can give directions. They can tell people, "stop in the name of the law," or they can even call out for help. And that's what prayer does in our life. It allows us to call out for help. It allows us to say, you know, "I want to stop this thing that's happening in my life," through the power of prayer. And our voice in our spiritual battle is a vital tool. Our voice in prayer is vital for us to have success in the attacks that come. You know, the Bible, it tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death comes from what we say. And you know what I know? Is that life is not in silence. But sometimes we're silent in our prayer life about the things that are happening in our life. But if life and death come from the tongue, then we need to speak up. We need to talk about the things that are happening. You know, the Bible says that what's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. That what we speak out on earth, that what we pray about on earth, that God literally releases the answers in heaven, right? I said that everything that is physical and visible is preceded by something invisible and spiritual. And so what we say on earth literally affects what happens in heaven. So our prayers are powerful. I believe that Jesus did a complete work on the cross, amen? That when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "it is finished." And he wasn't talking about his life, he was talking about the thing that he came to do. That every prayer that we ever pray has been answered through what Jesus already did in the complete work on the cross. And so when we pray, We need to speak out what he has already done so we can receive what he wants to give. That was a big sentence. That when we pray, we are speaking out the answer to the thing that he's already done so we can receive the thing that he wants to give. But it only happens if we pray. It only happens if we take time to pray about the things that are happening in our life. It says, Ephesians 6:18, let me read it again, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and petition. You know, prayer is powerful. That's why every week, Pastor Max got up this week, every week we have our prayer partners come across the front to partner with you in your prayer. But can I tell you something amazing? You don't have to wait till Sunday to pray. You can pray at home. You can pray driving in your car. You can be literally in an argument with your spouse and pray while crazy stuff is coming out of your mouth. You can pray, God, help me shut my mouth, right? You can pray on all occasions. So when Jesus died, the Bible says that the veil was torn. There was this place called the Holy of Holies that only special people could go. But then through what Jesus did on the cross, that whole veil was ripped in half, and everybody had access to God. So we need to pray on a daily basis and all things so we can be connected to him. But you see, prayer is the easiest thing we can do, yet for some reason it's extremely difficult. Am I the only person that has ever experienced that? It's the easiest thing we can do. Like, praying is just like talking to your friend. What's up, girl? Right? Like, it's exactly like talking to your friend. It's just like talking to someone that you're close to is what prayer is. But for some reason, it's really difficult sometimes. It's really hard, and it can be really confusing. But I think that that's because of two reasons. Prayer can be difficult because, number one, we don't really believe that it's powerful. But also because sometimes we think that it's boring. Can I just be real honest? Like, is it okay for a pastor to tell you that sometimes it feels like prayer is boring? This was my spiritual walk for years. I felt like prayer was boring. And it was because every time I prayed, I would pray like this. Oh, God, you got to help me. God, I got all kind of problems. I need you to help me. I don't know what to do. God, give me direction. Help me, God. Help me, God. I'm worried, God. Help me, God. God, I'm stressed. Help me, God. God, I don't have enough money. God, I don't have enough money. I need you to help me out. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. Sound familiar? Like that when you pray, for years, it felt like my prayer, all I was doing was say, oh, God, help me, please, right? And so it gets boring. If you do the same thing for a long time, that creates boredom. And so I would get bored in my prayer, and I wouldn't know what to say because all I was doing was saying, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Now, the Bible says that when we pray, that God bends his knee and he turns his ear. Yeah. So when you say help, God's paying attention. But see, that's only a part of the prayer. That's only the first half of the prayer. It's not enough just to say, help me, God. But what we need to do is we need to stand on the promises of God as we're praying. So we can't just say, God, here's where I am. Here's what's happening. I need you to help me. We're missing a piece. You see, if we believe that what Jesus did on the cross is a complete work, then we need to tap into that thing when we pray. So last week, we learned about how this is the sword of the right, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And then verse 17 says, and pray in the Spirit. Okay, so this is the sword of the Spirit that we fight the devil with. I got real excited last week, and I said the scripture is the thing you use to stab the devil in the face. It's kind of an extreme comment, but that's what I said. And so you stab the devil with this thing, right? This is the sword of God. But it's also the thing we're supposed to pray in. So this is the sword of the Spirit. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit. So if that's the sword of the Spirit, and I'm supposed to pray in the Spirit, that means that I have to pray through the Word of God. It's not just to know the Word, right? It's not enough to just read the graphe and understand the Logos, but we have to speak out the Rhema. So we're praying in the Spirit. So God, help me. Help me, please. I don't know what to do. I don't have enough money. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm tempted. God, help me. But then we have to jump back into, and we have to pray through the Word of God. And in that, we find power. So how do we pray? It says this. Let me read it again. Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So when you pray, this is your vocabulary. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, when you pray, you just pray so powerfully. You just pray with so much authority. It's not because I'm making up my own words. All I'm doing is copying something I read that somebody else wrote down. My prayers are just plagiarism. And that's what your prayers need to be. Our prayers need to be plagiarism of the Word of God. That we're literally just reciting something that somebody else already wrote, because it's in that that we have power. When we pray, we have to ask God for help. But we can't just stop there. We have to stand on the completed work that he has already done. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. I read this last week, verse 12. It says this: "For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit." Now, I read that last week, right? So we know that this is the thing that divides our soul, our mind, our crazy thinking, from our spirit, which God has forgiven in his connection with him. But look at what it says in verse 16. It says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." So approach God. I don't know God's address, so I can't go ring his doorbell. But the way that I can approach God is through prayer, right? It's how we approach God. We pray, we're now approaching God. And when we approach God through his word, we can have confidence. And it changed my whole prayer life, because I went from, help me God, I don't know what to do. It turned my prayer from just complaining and being afraid and being defeated into, when I started praying through the word of God, I now could speak with confidence. And who knows, it's not boring to speak with confidence. You don't get bored in that. So let me keep reading. It says, "Let us approach God's throne with grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So the way that we find the help for the problems that we have is through approaching God with confidence through his word. This is some good stuff, y'all. John 15, 7, it says this: "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish will be done for you." If you remain in me, you put your word in your mind. You put your word, my word in your heart. If you remain in me and I remain in you, that whatever you ask in my will be done for you. Now, nowhere in this Bible does it talk about God giving me a free Lamborghini. So I'm not saying you can be praying for a free Lamborghini, but I'm saying that if you're praying within what God's will is for your life, that you have to speak those things out in prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God," that's us, "may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That everything that we want to do in life, we can be thoroughly equipped through the word of God. So how do we pray? I have a couple examples this morning to help you understand and help me understand. How do we pray then? Okay, Tristan, you're telling me it's not just about help me, do this, I need help, give me direction. But what's the next step? We have to work the word of God. So let's say that you're tired. You're overwhelmed with life, and you feel like you just can't do it another day. So here's what your prayer would look like. I'm going to be a lab for you. I'm going to give you an example. Here's what it would look like. God, I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I'm exhausted. God, I feel like I can't go on. So you give him where you are. But then you say, but. See, God's like Sir Mix-a-Lot. He likes big buts, right? But. He says, say, God, I'm messed up. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I don't know what to do. But. Your word says in Matthew 11, 28, God, I'm tired, but, listen to what the Bible says. God, I'm tired, but your word says to me, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So God, I'm worn out, but you tell me in your word that if I come to you, that you'll give me rest. And God, you say, you go on and say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I don't know what to do. Don't let your prayer stop there. And say, but your word says that your yoke is easy. So God, I want to throw my prayer, my problems on you, because I know that Psalms 127 says that God gives rest to those he loves. God gives rest to those that he loves. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, I live on the world and in the world, and so that means that God loves me. And if God gives rest to those he loves and he loves me, that God, that means you're going to give me rest. So God, I'm tired, but I know that I have rest in you. So tonight when I lay down to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep. That tonight when I lay down, my mind will not race, but I will have peace in you. See how your prayer changes? It's not just about the first half of the complaint. It's about the second half of the authority of what God has already done for you. Let's say you're worried. You're worried and you're anxious and you're fearful and you're overwhelmed. And so what we do is we pray and we say, God, I'm worried. I'm stressed out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what my boss is going to say. I don't know what the doctor's report is going to say. I don't know what's going to happen. But Philippians 4:16 it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all my ways I should trust in him. And so God, I'm worried, but I trust you. I decide to trust you. I choose to trust you. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And so God, I'm worried, I'm stressed out, but that's because I'm leaning on my own understanding. And so, God, I don't know how you're going to do this thing, but I believe that you are going to do it, so I'm trusting you. See how your prayer changes, right? Am I helping anybody? Okay. So we have to change our prayer to from just the need to the authority that God has given us. Maybe you're feeling insecure. I've been there. Feeling insecure. God, I can't do it. I can't do it, God. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not cool enough. I don't have enough money. I got kind of chubby, right? God, I need you to help. Why are y'all laughing? I'm not talking about me. All right. And so we say, God, here's where I am. Here's the insecurities that I have. But Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece, that he created me in Christ Jesus to be anew, that he planned things for me long ago to do. And so, God, if you planned these things for me long ago and you've called me a masterpiece, that means that I'm able to do the things that you've called me to do. So I deny my insecurity and I step in the confidence that you say that I am. You see, it changes your prayer life around a little bit. The way that you put on the armor is through praying this. You don't put on the armor by complaining. God already knows we're weak. He already knows underneath the armor that we're really weak. And so that's why he gives us the armor to put on. Maybe you're being tempted. You're being tempted. You're saying, man, I'm being tempted. I'm about to, I'm stressed out at work, and so I'm driving home, and I'm about to go get a 12-pack and take it home. I'm about to get drunk. I'm tempted, you know, or, you know, I'm having some struggles, and I want to get on and look at internet pornography, and I want to relieve some stress in that direction, so God, I'm being tempted. Or there's this business deal that I can make a whole bunch of money on that nobody will know about. I'm being tempted, and so God, I'm tempted. I don't know what to do. God, I need help. God, I need your help. I keep sinning, and I don't want to sin, but I just keep on doing it. But your word says in Matthew 6:13 that you will not lead us into temptation, but you deliver us from the evil one. And so, God, I can't do it by myself, so I need you to deliver me, because I know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. That's one of my favorite scriptures, y'all. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common. Whatever you're dealing with, you're not a freak. It's common. Like, there's a whole bunch of other people that deal with all that stuff, too. And God knows that, and he says, so it's common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And it goes on, and it says this. All right. It says this. It says, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. So you say, God, I don't know what to do, but you tell me in your word that you will provide a way out. So, God, I need a way out. I need a way out. I'm driving home. I'm about to go and buy a 12-pack and cause my family all kind of problems. But instead, God, I need a way out. I'm going to go home and go for a jog. Or I'm going to go home and I'm going to read my Bible. God, I'm about to look at internet pornography. I need a way out. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shut my computer. I'm going to leave my house. I need a way out. And God will provide a way out. So it's not just about praying, help me, help me, help me. It's about saying, help me, help me, help me. But this is the authority that I'm standing on. Right. Make sense? Yeah. All right, let's move on. So you got to say, here I am, but your word says. Now, here's some great ways to do that. All those scriptures that I just quoted or just read, we've preached here at Living Church in the last 6 months. So a great way for you to grow in your knowledge of how to pray is to be taking notes while we're up here teaching. Because when you take notes, you're driving the groove deeper in your mind. It's getting deeper, and it goes from just hearing into an action. So you can take notes so you can have them. Or in the back of all of your Bibles, oh, there's the maps. I forgot about the maps. The back of all your Bibles, there's a concordance. So you can open up the back of your Bible, and you can say, okay, well, man, let's say that I'm struggling with lust. Okay, let me see. And you look it up, and you find something on lust, and there's a whole bunch of scriptures on lust. And so then you flip over to those, and you say, okay, well, here's what the Bible says about that thing. You see, you don't have to have the whole thing memorized, but you have to have it close to you so that you can use it. And so you can look it up. Or there's this amazing tool that I want to tell you about. It's called Google. It's called the internet. And so here's what you do. You get on the internet. The internet's not the devil. The devil is on the internet, but so is God. And so you get on the internet and you type in, what does the Bible say about anger? What does the Bible say about bitterness? What does the Bible say about whatever your difficulty is? And then it will pop up all these pages. And then you click on one and then you read some scriptures about it. And then you go and look in your Bible and make sure it's not some internet weirdo typing fake stuff. And as long as it's in your Bible, then now that's a weapon for you to use. And so you don't have to have all this stuff memorized, but you just have to run back to the resource. You have to run back to the thing that will answer the problem that you have. Okay. So, What I should do is I should end the sermon there. It's already been a great sermon. It's been good content. I should end it there, but I can't because so far we've only talked about two-thirds of prayer. The Bible says that we are made up of body, of soul, and of spirit. Okay. Body, soul, and spirit. Our body is our flesh. Our soul is our mind, right? Soul is where we get the idea of psychology, right? It's our mind. It's how we think. It's our emotions. And then our spirit is the thing that is saved and connected to God. So when you pray, you say, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. I don't know what to do. That's your flesh. Because your flesh doesn't know what to do. So first thing, you pray in your spirit, or you pray in your body. Then the second thing that you do is you pray in your mind. You pray in your soul. You say, okay, God, here's what your Bible says. Here's the confidence I'm going to stand on. I'm going to pray in my mind. I'm going to turn this from graphe into logos. I'm going to turn this into understanding so I can speak. But that's two-thirds. But then there's one more third, and it's to pray in the Spirit. It's to pray in the Spirit. This is the part of the message where everybody starts to get real nervous because we start talking about the Spirit. But what is the Spirit? What is the Spirit? And so everybody gets really nervous because when we pray about when we hear about the Spirit, we start thinking about things that we don't really understand. And so we think about the Holy Ghost. And we think about the Holy Ghost. Can y'all hear me? And so we think that when you're praying in the Spirit, that you're tapping into this weird thing called the Holy Ghost, which you don't really understand. And so the pastor starts talking about the Holy Spirit, but the only thing you can think about is the Holy Ghost. So what I want to do today is I want to remove the Holy Ghost from the Holy Spirit. You with me? Could you hear me? I was like a big echo in there. Okay. The Holy Ghost is only in the Bible in the King James Version. King James Version of the Bible was written in the 1600s. And so that translation is simply an inaccurate translation of an ancient text for modern day. And so when people talk about the Holy Ghost, that was written before Ghostbusters existed. Yeah. There's something strange in the neighborhood, right? That didn't exist back when they wrote that in the King James Version. But now we have TV shows. So now we have TV shows like Ghost Hunters, right? And we see Slimer, and we see all of these different things that get us a little freaked out about what the Holy Ghost is. So the Holy Ghost is just an inaccurate translation. So put that down. The things that you've heard about the Holy Spirit, the things that you've heard about the Holy Ghost that freak you out, just trust me for just 10 minutes and just put it down and listen to what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us by God as a gift. Yes. I'm opening a can. I don't have time to drink today. So you need to help me know that I'm talking about prayer. I'm trying to help you understand how we pray in the Spirit. We pray in our flesh, we pray in our mind, and then we have to pray in our spirit. So the Spirit of God is God. God is three in one. He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Spirit. In the same way that I'm a son, I have a mom and a dad, I am a husband, that's my wife, and I am a father. I have two kids and living kids. So I have three things inside of one person. God is three in one. Same way that a triangle is one shape, but it's made up of three equal parts. God is three in one. And one of the parts of God is the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible's telling us that we need to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And so we start getting all freaked out because we saw something real weird on TV, or we went somewhere and somebody tried to push us down, right? I mean, it's happened to me. And so these things have happened, and so what we do is we just dismiss the truth of God. We dismiss this giant, powerful, amazing concept, one third of our prayer life, because we simply don't understand it. So someday we'll do a mega series on the 9 fruits of the Spirit and the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It'll be a super series, right? It'll be 18 weeks of power, right? And so there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. I don't have time to teach on them, but let me read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this. To one, there is... Can we just put it up here? Okay. So here are the gifts. It says that there's a gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. Go to the next one. It says there is the gift of miraculous power. There's the gift of prophecy. There's the gift between distinction of spirits. That's like being able to see into, is this person telling me the truth? Are they telling me a lie? Right there, another is speaking in different kinds of tongues. Start getting freaked out. Oh, he's talking about tongues up there. Holy Ghost time, okay? And still another interpretation of tongues. And so there's nine gifts, but sometimes what we do is we dismiss all nine gifts because we don't understand tongues. We don't understand what a prayer language is. So I'm going to do my very best to unpack it in a short amount of time. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And so we're going to try to unpack it. I'm full of them this morning. And so we're going to try to unpack it for you. So in a couple of weeks, not tonight, but next Sunday night, we're going to have an encounter night. And at encounter night, I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit and talk about why he's here and what he does and how he interacts in our life. So we're going to do a teaching on it, and then we're going to give everybody an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So mark it on your calendar, be here, it's going to be great. But as it pertains to prayer, the Holy Spirit is powerful for us. Let me just read this. This is something that I've observed in people who, here's what I've observed, and I'll just read it, in people who are really impressed with their own intellectual capacity. They have trouble moving in realms of spirituality because of their ability to think. They think they have to understand everything, and anything they can't understand, they can't do. So something I've observed about people is that if you're really smart, or you think you're really smart, right? If we think we're really smart, then we have a really hard time stepping into these spiritual things that we can't understand, which works great in the secular world, but works horrible in the spiritual world. Because everything physical and visible is preceded by something invisible and spiritual. And so it makes sense that if you can't see it at work, don't do it. Show me the money, right? Like you have to see the tangible things there. But in the spirit realm, sometimes there's things that we just simply can't understand. And when we can't understand them, then we don't want to walk in them. And we get a little nervous about them. But the Bible says that God is far beyond our understanding. That for a worm to understand a man is like man to understand God. That our finite mind cannot understand his infinite concepts. That's where faith comes in. It's when we have to say, God, I believe you love me and that you have good things in store for me, so I'm going to listen to what you tell me in your word beyond what I can just understand. The funny thing is sometimes about Christians, I'm getting all kind of trouble today. The tough thing sometimes about Christians is we're okay believing all of this stuff in the Bible that doesn't make sense. Like, we're okay with the virgin birth. We're okay with the virgin birth. We're okay with Jonah getting swallowed by a whale and swimming under the ocean for 3 days and popping out alive. We're okay with that. We're okay with Jesus walking on water. We're okay with Jesus being beaten, crucified, and rose again on the third day, completely healed. We're okay with all those things. But when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, we have a problem. Do you know why? Because all of these stories in the Bible don't involve me. I wasn't there with Jonah. I wasn't there with Mary and Joseph in the manger. I wasn't there. So that's good. I believe that for them. But now the Holy Spirit is the thing that interacts with us. And when we have to engage in the miraculous, we kind of start getting freaked out. And we start going, that's for some TV evangelist that's doing weird stuff that I don't want to be a part of that. That's sensationalism. So I'm not talking about sensationalism. I'm talking about being educated in what the Word of God says and allowing the Holy Spirit to do some miraculous things in your life. You see, walking in the Holy Spirit is not an intellectual problem. It's a faith problem. And so all I'm asking is that as a church that we would have faith that God is doing big things in us. That's why the Bible says that we have to have faith like a child. So out of those gifts, out of the nine gifts, there are two of which that use a prayer language, speaking in tongues. And they're very different gifts. And the best illustration I can come up with for how the Holy Spirit wants to work with us is a telephone. A telephone has the capacity to communicate two directions. A telephone can receive calls, and a telephone can make outgoing calls. Right? It can do both things. It can receive a call and it can have a message go out. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. A prayer language does the same thing. One of those ways is for God to ring in. The way that that would work is found in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14. You can take some time to read it. I'll talk about it on Second Sunday. That God would ring in, so that God would give someone a prophetic utterance, and someone in the church would speak out in another language that you don't understand. And then God would give somebody else with the gift of prophecy to interpret what that person said. And when that happens, that is a word from God for the body, for the whole church. And what that thing does is it is an edification to the church. It's never going to be condemning. It's never going to say, thus saith the Lord, the pastor shouldn't wear weird masks in service, right? It's not going to say that kind of stuff. It's going to be an edification of the church. So that's how God can ring in. The Holy Spirit, it rings in and gives us a message. And if that happens, we need to be very attentive because God is speaking. But the other way that it happens is it allows our spirit to ring out. It enables us to communicate with God in a capacity that we couldn't normally do before. And so praying in a prayer language is my spirit speaking to God, but cutting my mind out of the process. Now, so I just said that. Let me say it again. When I use a prayer language, I'm the pastor of this church. Yes, I speak in tongues, and I use a prayer language. But just because you didn't think I was a weirdo last week, don't start thinking I'm a weirdo right now. Just listen to what the Bible says and digest it for yourself. Sometimes what happens is we hold on to a theology of somebody else instead of understanding it for ourselves. And so when we're praying in the Spirit, we are circumventing the brokenness of our mind. Because sometimes our mind is crazy, right? And so right, there's three ways we pray. We pray in our flesh. God, help me. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. I'm so freaked out. Help me, God. Then we pray in our mind. God, your word says this, and it gives us clarity of how we need to have confidence. But sometimes, if you've lived long enough, sometimes there's problems in life you don't know how to pray for. Right? Like there's situations that come that you're literally, you do not know how to pray, and you're so frustrated or so hurt that you can't even believe the word. You know, like you're so insecure that you can't even believe you're God's masterpiece. You can't even believe it. And that's because your soul, your mind, is getting in the way of what God wants to do in your spirit. And so what God does is he prays through your spirit to himself in a language you don't understand because he doesn't want you to tap his line. Because what happens is we pray for ourselves and we'll tap our own message. And we'll be listening in on what we're praying, and then we stop praying it because we don't even believe it ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit allows you to pray things over yourself and through you that will release things in heaven that you don't even know that you need. So it's important for us to understand these concepts of God so that we can pray and we can be used in the Spirit to do all the things that he wants us to do. I'm way off in my notes, so help me, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says this. Whenever you don't know where to go, just read your next scripture, right? It says this. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but speaks to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So when you're praying through the Spirit for things. Sometimes we're so bitter. Like, people will mess you up, right? People will hurt you so bad sometimes that you don't even know how to pray. Because you're so frustrated, all you can see is red. But in those moments when you pray in the Spirit, God will intercede through you on your behalf back to him. And it's in that healing can happen. It's in that things can be released that you can't even understand can happen. Can I have the band come this morning? And so what we need to do and we need to allow God to do is to disengage our mind in the prayer process. But that's real scary for control freaks. If you're a control freak, it's real scary because you're like, Pastor, wait a minute, you're asking me to disengage my mind. Well, your mind has been the thing that's been controlling you your whole life, and it's gotten you into all kind of trouble. Right. If you're anything like me, my mind gets me into trouble all the time. And so when I pray in the Spirit, I'm disengaging that thing that has the world all over it. And I'm allowing God to pray through me for things that I don't even understand that I really need. Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When you pray in the Spirit, you're literally praying the will of God over your life. So the ask would be that in your faith journey, seek all of God. Seek everything that God has, not based on something that you thought about years ago, but based off of what the Bible says, and seek God for who he is and all that he has for you. We joked earlier, Pastor Brandon joked earlier about how this week was Gasageddon, right? And how everybody's lining up, freaking out to go and buy gas. I want you to imagine that you pulled up to a gas station and the person who owned it came out and said, hey, today we're giving out free gas. You'd think, jackpot, right? And so you would get the little pump, and I'd put it in my truck, and I would start it to go, and I would fill up all 25 gallons. I'd fill the whole truck up. And then I'd like be clicking the handle like seven times as number completion, right? Click that thing until the truck is totally full. You're giving me free gas. And then I would drive away with all the free gas. If someone ran out and said, here, we're going to give you free gas, I wouldn't put in 2 gallons and then say, oh, that's enough to get me home, and then leave. I would take all that he was giving me. And I think that sometimes as Christians, what we do is we're satisfied with just enough to get us home. We're satisfied with, oh, I just need 2 gallons. I'll just come to church once a month, hello, and I'll just serve at Rock and Forth, but never really get involved throughout the year. I'll just take 2 gallons of gas. But God's in heaven offering 25 gallons to fill up your tank. He's offering to fill up every area and fill up every need that you have. So I would just ask, don't live life on a quarter tank. God operates in thirds, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's given us our flesh, our mind, and our spirit. So for us to pray in the Spirit, don't only pray in the first 2/3, but tap in to what God has for you and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can pray in the Spirit beyond your understanding. Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. Would everybody stand up with me this morning? Throughout the series, we've been saying, suit up, suit up, suit up, suit up. And if you've noticed, there's been a theme in every one of the weeks that the way that we suit up is through God. We don't suit up in our own selves. God doesn't tell us to go into the back room and get a hammer and light a fire and build our own breastplate of righteousness. But that righteousness comes from him. He doesn't tell us to make our own sword. He gives us a sword. And the greatest way that you can suit up in the morning, or you can suit up while you're at work, or you can suit up when you're in a stressful situation, is to allow the Holy Spirit into your situation and do things that you don't know how to do. So, this whole message was a big plug for you to pursue God and to show up at Encounter Night. So we can talk a little bit more in depth about this, so I can give you some more biblical foundation on it, to talk about how this is for us. This is not just for the people at the day of Pentecost, but yet later in Acts 10, all the Gentiles were filled, right? We'll talk about some of the lineage of all that so we can understand how it is applicable for us today. But what I want us to do is the band's going to lead us into time of worship. And I want us to just sing this song as a prayer and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I don't know everything yet. And I might have some weird preconceived notions from the past, and I don't know about it, but Holy Spirit, God, you're welcome here. I don't know about what this dude is. You don't even have to know about what I'm saying, but God, you're welcome in me. And God, I'm open to what you want to do in me. So let's worship the Lord and say, God, I want to suit up with you. You're welcome here. Father, we want all that you have for us. You tell us in your word that you're a good father who desires to give good gifts to his children. And so we come to you like little kids and say, God, we don't know how to do it all on our own. And we don't know how to think up all the right answers, but we can trust you. And so, Father, you tell us in your word that if we seek you, we will find you, if we seek you with all of our hearts. So, God, as we leave this place, let us know that it's up to us to seek you. That it's not just about what's happening at a church or in a service, but that we need to be seeking you every day, be seeking you in every moment, be seeking you in every difficulty that we have, and that, God, you are a Father who will be easily found. I believe, God, that you have great things in store for this people, that you want to do great things through Living Church, but you also want to do great things in Living Church. And so, Father, fill people with your Spirit, God. Let them understand your love and the confidence and power that comes in knowing you. Thank you, Lord, in your name. We all said, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? You know, if you're here today and you're not in a relationship with God, before you leave, we want to give you an opportunity to know a God who loves you more than you can even imagine. You know, God isn't mad at you. God isn't frustrated with you. But God is madly in love with you. He has so love. He has crazy love for you. So much he sent his son to be the payment of all of our sins. So one more time, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're in this place and you would say, Pastor, I'm not in a right relationship with God. On the count of three, I would just ask that you simply raise your hand and look up here. And we're going to pray a prayer that would just be you saying, God, forgive me my sins and come into my heart. If that's you, on the count of three, just raise it up. One, two, three. If that's you this morning. Yep, I see this hand right over here. Anybody else? Yep, over here, I see you. Anybody want to join these two this morning that would say, today's my day? Living Church, would you pray with me in these two? Everyone say, dear God, forgive me my sin and come into my heart. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I'm choosing to make you king. You're in charge. I love you. Amen.